The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. I am the bread, and the bread that I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How could this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I have life because of the Father. And so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. God is good
all the time.
So welcome to the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. It's also sometimes referred to as Bread of Life Sunday. But first, let me give you a little story. Of course, as deacons, we always have to go out and visit parishioners, and I was called upon to visit this one parishioner, and I drove up to her house, and I saw her car in the driveway, and went up to the door and knocked on the door, and there was no answer. But I kept hearing sounds inside, and I thought, she's got to be there. Let me knock again. Still no answer. So I figured, well, I'll just leave her a note saying I was here, and I got my little business card out and put on the back of it, Isaiah 66:4. Now, that is a quote from Isaiah where Jesus was looking for Isaiah, and the quote basically is, "I came by, but you were not there." Or no one answered, that's what it is. Well, a week went by, and I get a call from the parish office, and they said, "Deacon Richard, somebody left your business card here, and they wanted you to come and get it." So I did. I came into the office the next day and picked it up. And on the back, Isaiah 66 was crossed out. And in its place, she put Genesis 3:10. Well, of course, being a biblical scholar, I knew exactly what that was, right? No. I'm not a biblical scholar. I did not know what that was. I had to go look it up. It was Eve saying, "I was naked, and so I hid." So, Bread of Life Sunday. Third in a series of Gospels of John. We've had 3 weeks now where we've had Gospels of John. This is John chapter 6. And we use John instead of Mark during this time because the church wants us to focus on the Eucharist. And so they give us these three readings about the Eucharist and what it means to us. How does it fit in our lives? It's a lot to chew on. The church this year had its Eucharistic conference. It further emphasized the importance of the Eucharist to us and to the church. Some 60,000 people attended, and the procession as seen on TV was awe-inspiring. But Jesus goes into a dialogue where he tells his followers that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, the first thing the followers thought, and we as well probably, was when they heard this, does he want us to become cannibals? And of course, we know now that that is not at all what he had in mind. But this was early in Jesus' ministry, and no one really knew what was about to happen to him. Jesus actually initiated the Eucharist at that very moment. And that's early in the chapter 6, long before the Last Supper. Jesus was setting the scene. He was getting us ready for the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, done for the remission of our sins. And so, in the Last Supper, he concludes this exercise with bread and wine. Bread. Why bread? Well, bread is something that everyone can relate to. It's the staff of life. And all the followers knew that bread is the basis of almost everyone's diet. Bread sustains life like the Eucharist sustains our spirit. So how's it made? Well, salt, oil, water, and of course flour. You mix it, you knead it, you let it rest. Then you mix it and knead it again. My Aunt Bella used to say, you knead it until it comes nice. I never knew what that meant, but I get it. Anyway, you throw it in a pan, stick it in the oven, and voila, you got bread. I tried it a time or two and failed miserably, and I bet there's a bunch of good bakers out there that have done it on a regular basis. And when I think of fresh baked bread, I recall the bus ride that I used to take every day to school when I was in elementary school growing up. The bus would pass the Wonder Bread factory early in the morning, and the smell of fresh baked bread would fill the bus as we went by that factory. To me, it smelled like heaven. It was a wonderful way to start the school day. The aroma was just wonderful. So bread, the staff of life. Most people during Jesus' life knew and understood bread, especially the Jews who experienced the manna in the desert. Bread is the basis of life, and it can be the only thing that could keep a person alive if that's all he had. When Jesus claimed he is the bread of life, that statement had power. The statement had a lot of meaning to the people then and to us today. They immediately questioned, who is this guy? Don't we know his mother and father? Jesus insisted over and over again that if you eat this bread, you will live forever. Pretty big claim for the son of a humble carpenter. So what does this mean to us? Well, during the consecration of the Mass, the priest takes bread, breathes on it, and says the words, this is my body. Hoc est eam corpus mei in Latin, for those of you from pre-Vatican times. In conjunction with us, the entire community present, this little flake of bread turns into the real presence of Jesus among us. And we respond to it in our hearts and our minds with the St. Thomas prayer, five simple words, my Lord and my God. Then he takes the cup again and breathes on it and says, this is my blood. And again, that cup of fermented grape juice transforms into the blood of Christ and his real presence. Both contain the body and blood of Jesus. It's the miracle of transubstantiation. The miracle that we all believe in. And we respond again with the Thomas prayer, my Lord and my God. And then we receive the host and or the cup. And when receiving the real presence of Christ, we receive the bread of life. And we bring it into us and we become the tabernacle, the temple that Jesus dwells. Now that we are possessors of the real presence, what are we going to do with this? Well, when the deacon, when I proclaim at the end of Mass, go forth in peace, glorifying the Lord with your life, I mean it. It's up to you, each and every one of you, to walk out that door and be a reflection of the Spirit of Christ within our community. Let people see the Christ in you. This is the challenge that the Eucharist presents to us. To taste and see the goodness of the Lord, as the psalm response says, is the experience that we all cherish. This is the reason we are here. This is the encounter that cannot be ignored. Think for a moment about our parish mission statement. We are the parish of St. Joseph's Church in Norman. We recognize Jesus as our Savior of the world, and we are invited to be in relationship with Him. What more intense and intimate relationship can we have than we have Him in our temple? Carry this forward. God is good. All the time.